Hello everyone, it's Shane Kanto.
And I'm Debbie.
And welcome to the Ruthless Obsession Wrestling Podcast here on the SPDM Crew Podcasting Network. And it's another week, and there's, of course, plenty of pro wrestling content for us to talk about as we're nearing WrestleMania in just under a month at this point as we're recording. But honestly, the biggest news this week, which is why we're going to be focusing on a double dose of AEW, because they made some big splashes this week with some exciting things. And Diana, what did you want to talk about today?
Sure did. I want to talk about Okada coming out to AEW. We all knew that move was going to happen, but I am so impressed by the way they worked him in. So he is now part of the Elite. And for those of you who aren't as familiar with AEW, the Elite is, well, it did consist of Kenny Omega. It's still the EVP is the Young Bucks, Matthew and Nicholas Jackson. And then it also was Hangman Adam Page. But if you listen to me ramble on for 900 minutes last week about Revolution, somewhere in there I mentioned that Hangman Adam Page kind of went rogue during his triple threat and attacked not one but two refs. So he is suspended indefinitely. They just said from the Elite. So I mean, I don't know if they're going to work it in with kayfabe, but he's also suspended from wrestling. But right now, it just sounds like he's suspended from, that I don't know what you would even call him. I guess board of important people in AEW. Like, I guess that's how you can phrase them. I don't know. Besides Matthew and Nicholas, I don't really know what their titles were, which is probably shame on me, slap on the wrist, but.
Well, at this point, you got the behind the scenes stuff. You have the on-screen faction
Yeah.
element of it. So we certainly saw the fracturing of a faction. Say
Yes.
that five times fast. And then them having a rebirth with a really big debut. And unfortunately, Eddie Kingston was kind of caught in the
I
crossfire on it.
know one of my
But
guys.
You know what? It makes a lot of sense to me, and it just felt fit the vibe of like Okada coming out with the money raining down from, he's the
Yes.
rainmaker for a reason. And then him getting in the ring with the suit clad Young Bucks and then beating up the guy that definitely doesn't look like he ever wore a suit in his life.
Yeah.
I think it makes an interesting dynamic to really start off this, if that's where they're heading. And like, if Okada's going to be feuding with Eddie Kingston, that's an interesting feud for Okada to come in with, and that's a big rub for Eddie Kingston. You can
Yes.
definitely tell AEW's putting all in on him.
Yes. And we also can't forget, nice pun there. The reason for getting rid of Kenny Omega was because he didn't show up to work and he's not doing anything. Keep in mind the man has diverticulitis, so he's unwell right now. I don't know if you noticed on Twitter X, whatever you want to call it, but Kenny actually tweeted just this like picture of himself with a look on his face that was like, you gotta be freaking kidding me. It was amazing. Like, he's very much in on the joke. So I think that he's gonna come back once he's good and well to wrestle in a big way up against these guys. I think it was the perfect, it makes sense to put him in with those guys, the EVPs. It furthers the douchey EVP story. And you could tell what I love about, again, both you and I are not the biggest Young Buck fans, but I am fans of their character work right now. And earlier on in the episode, they did this whole good evening and welcome to AEW, like totally like fake happy, like we're reading off a prompter. They did it on purpose, promo. And then they're like, we have two big announcements. And it just furthered that fake, like, yeah, we got to talk to the fans, but we're really in it for the money. And then when they came out and they were saying, like, oh, it really pains us to get rid of our friends, like just really hamming up that fake energy. And I love it. I think that this role, I've said it a million times, but this is so perfect for them. Behind every bit of kayfabe, there's a little bit of truth. So I think
At
that
least the
also helps.
best.
Yes.
At least the best wrestling stories have a little bit of truth in them.
Yeah.
And you know what? It makes sense. They're EVPs. They could have been the one story-wise that, like, we're bringing Okada, we got him here. And they look like a trio of smirking douches up on that stage together, and it fit perfect. It's one of those kinds of things where, like, it made sense and you saw it all play out. It's like, this looks like a big deal. And it
Yeah.
really sets up enough. Well, and I'm not saying this in Eddie Kingston's going to be a great feud for Okada to come in with, but the hinting at that he's going to face Kenny Omega when he gets back, because that's 100% where this is going.
Yes.
That is big, and selling
Yes,
that coming
huge.
forward. Yeah.
I also wanted to point out, I think it was WrestleTalk podcast. I could be wrong, but one of those that I listened to said that the way that they introduced Okada and threw him right into a storyline worked so well. Whereas, and nothing against Ospreay, he's great, but like they kind of just been booking dream matches, which I know will segue into your topic a little bit later. But it's kind of like they could have thrown Okada into more dream matches. But it's far more interesting to set him up in this storyline and throw him in with the EVPs and further that. This was the season premiere of Dynamite. You got a new logo. They brought back the tunnels. And I really think, I said this at the Revolution recap, but I really truly think this is the beginning of an AEW boom. Like, it seems like they're heading in the right direction. This is one of the highest, like, I don't know about ratings as far as audience goes, but like or dislike, it's one of the higher rated episodes that people really liked. So if they continue on this route, I think it's nothing but looking up for 2024 for them.
Well, and they're trying to, because, even if you're not in strict competition in terms of companies, which, to be honest, I'd argue that they're not really in competition. It's
Right.
just a completely different scale and
I
very
agree.
different products. But you have to fight for buzz, because there's just too much wrestling at the, like, there's so many wrestling shows on in a weekly basis that you have to find your buzz. And this could have easily been AEW just going to get lost for a while when WrestleMania is building up, but they're making some big splashes at key times, and we know 100%, like 100%, who's coming next week, because
Yeah.
that's as obvious as that possibly can be obvious without
Would be
them
a bigger
saying
shock if she did not show up. Wendi Richter.
it's.
I love that comment. It was so great.
That was Toni Storm's. It's fantastic with that gimmick. But,
Yes.
with Mercedes Moné coming and debuting next week, like 100% in Boston, that's a
Yes.
big deal too. And to be frank, she's just going to be blown right in the title picture against Toni Storm, because that, I feel like, is the only thing that's going to make sense in terms of how AEW is booking their women at the moment. But here, you set up a lot of possibilities, and you have a lot of possibilities for feuds that Okada can build up to by getting involved with the Young Bucks. So that
Yeah.
is very true. And it's going against how, unfortunately, AEW's been booking a lot of their big signings, which is throw them in for a dream match. And then it's like, but why?
Right.
And, like, trying to figure out, like, that investment. This definitely seems like something that makes sense, clicks, and it'll be interesting to see where it goes. And will they put some gold on Okada? I don't know. Eddie has like three belts. So, like, and I can't imagine that they're gonna, if he's definitely feuding with Eddie Kingston, I can't imagine that they have Okada lose his first feud
I know,
coming
yeah.
in. So, I don't know. We'll have to see where they go from there, but it certainly made a big splash.
Yes.
Now, my topic that I want to bring up, what isn't necessarily a big debut, because, like, Ospreay's been in AEW on and off for a while now,
Yes.
and decently regular at certain points, but, like, now he's a regular competitor. He had his introduction last week. He had his big match at the pay-per-view, and now he had another match. The match, though, kind of came second fiddle to who came out after the match, which Of course, having Bryan Danielson come out, which we had, this was like a side conversation during our recap of Revolution, but it's an interesting conversation to have. It's like, what's AEW really doing with Bryan Danielson? And I know you brought up the point, like, he has some big wins against some of the wrestlers from outside the company,
Yes.
which, like, that's an interesting thing because I don't know what that says about how AEW is booking that in particular. But, you know, Bryan Danielson's still one of the greatest wrestlers in the world,
Yeah.
arguably the best technical wrestler in the world. And is that match against Will Ospreay going to be amazing? It sure as hell is. And I'm going to be very excited to watch it. And, you know, they're the kind of wrestlers that can go out there and throw out an hour match if they were given the time. And it just, it's not, we don't know the story yet, if there is going to be meaningful story or not to it, or it's just like Danielson just wants to come at Ospreay because he's coming into the company or whatever. But match-wise, we have something very exciting to look forward to.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I was also impressed by the match with Fletcher. I continue to like Ospreay more each week. Like, I just think he's a fantastic guy. Could see myself being friends with him and just like it, what an athlete. Like they don't make them like that. Like it's just
Yeah.
you're born, maybe you're born with it, maybe you're Will Ospreay, it's insane. And I am also looking forward to this feud with Danielson. Like you said, Danielson, really impressive technical wrestler. Ospreay is just like got all the moves, flashy moves. Just amazing athlete. And also stature-wise, they're a little bit different because Danielson, I think Ospreay's taller than him. And Danielson's built, but he's not built in a way that Ospreay is. Like Ospreay bulked up and Danielson's kind of like your buff vegetarian or vegan, you know what I mean? Like they're two different kinds of buff. And it'll be interesting, like Danielson's a really good kicker and like so is Ospreay, but like Danielson, he can also strike really hard when he wants to. So I think it's gonna be a mix of that, really just like technical with the flashiness. Like we're gonna get some top rope stuff. We're gonna, it's gonna be fun. So I'm excited for that too. Yes, they definitely are booking Ospreay in the dream matches, but you know what? If it involves Danielson, I'm not mad at it right now.
Oh, yeah, and it'll be interesting to see if it builds out bigger because, like,
Yes.
out of all the members of the Blackpool Combat and the Blackpool Comic Club, right? I feel like he's the one that diverges from the group the most. He,
Yes.
like, if he wants to do something on his own, he kind of just does it. And I don't feel like they do a whole lot of, like, well, he's just doing his own thing. And will this just be his own thing? Will it get bigger in terms of like looping in Moxley and Claudio and stuff like that? No. Does it have to? No.
No,
this
and
is.
I would argue that I don't need to see that because, Moxley's a very like, I don't want to say dirty fighter as in he cheats, but he doesn't. He likes blood. You know what I mean? He's out for the blood, he's out for the
Yeah.
violence, and that just doesn't jive well with Ospreay.
And that's not really. For me personally, as a pro wrestling fan, I'm not the biggest, like, sure, can take a hardcore match every so often, but like, I don't need like death matches where
No,
like
same.
wood shafts are getting stabbed into people's foreheads and blood just everywhere.
I
But
don't like violence for the sake of violence, but if Darby Allin wants to crash into a glass pane and get cut up, like that's entertaining to me.
oh, that. I've seen videos since, and I'm just like, why would you do that to yourself?
He's
And I'm
a
just like,
crazy neon.
he is. God, the next time it rolls around, they have Moxley and Darby in a match. Somebody's gonna die.
Yeah.
But you know, I feel like Moxley and Claudio probably, because they announced a tag tournament, right?
Yes.
So I'm assuming they're going to be busy with that. FTR is going to be busy with that, stuff like that. So this is a good, if that's going to be going on, and then Danielson's over here fighting Ospreay, that's pretty great. And you know, they're just going to beat the crap out of each other because that is important to think about because Danielson definitely is a lean condition wrestler because he's there for the long haul. He doesn't need to be big. He'll out wrestle you. And like that, those matches with Zack Sabre Jr., it's like the technical aspect is just like off the charts. And Danielson could also do, you know, some crazy stuff himself. But you know, that's going to be a really awesome match. And at this point in Danielson's career, because I don't think he's going to wrestle that much longer, it
He
might
keeps
just be like he
teasing
wants to do
retirement,
that.
and then it's like, nah. So like, I don't know if it's gonna be full. I don't think it would be full on retirement. It might just be like a more part-time role, even more part-time.
And then he could just come out for dream matches, and that's all he has to do. You need a big match you want to put on. Because, like, I'll give AEW that they put on a nice variety of matches on their pay-per-views. You'll get the Demolition Derbies, like Sting's last match, which that certainly was. And then you'll have something with Ospreay. You'll have something with Danielson, and you could have those technical aspects. You know, it would be nice if the women got more than 12 minutes on a whole entire pay-per-view, but that is for another
I
conversation.
could do a side rant and say, like, stop making Chris Statlander lose. I don't know where we're going here, but for the fact that she had the TNT belt and then dropped it and now has not. She won the match with Willow, but Willow got the pin, the tag match. So it was her Willow against Julia and Sky before Revolution, but it was Willow who got the pin. So it's arguably like I think Chris has pretty much lost almost every match. She might have beat Karina Aminata, I think. Chris is a fantastic wrestler. I am a huge fan of her, huge
You
girl
too.
crush, like just built and athletic, and you know, she wants to do. I heard her on AEW Unrestricted, like, she wants to wrestle the way guys do, and I think she could get in the ring. Like, I would argue on a much smaller scale, she's most like Rhea Ripley, and like, forget the goth, forget the character work. As far as pure the way she's built and the way she can wrestle, she is very much like Rhea Ripley, and I don't think AEW is using that to their advantage.
No, and they're not taking advantage of a lot of their women's wrestlers. And Chris Statlander is amazing. They took that belt off her way too early.
Agree.
And nothing against Julia Hart, but like Chris Statlander barely, and that was the worst part too, because she won it in a quick way. And then you just take it from her. And it's like they have a track record for that. They did the same thing to Wardlow. He won the belt in a big way, and they're like, well, hot potato time, and then completely destroyed all of his momentum. He's not beating Joe next week when Swerve's out there. And it's just like one of those kinds of things. It's like there are certain things that they need to work on, but you know, every wrestling organization does, and none of them are perfect. But you know, the. I would like to see more from the women's division, like literally just more of the women's division. Like put them on screen more.
And yeah,
Like,
they're kind of shooting themselves in the foot because they had this storyline where Sky Blue got misted in the face, and then she's kind of goth, but then she misted Julia in the face, but then they're friends. Why are they friends? We still don't know. Is she part of the House of Black? Don't think so. But what is she? Is she just angry at everyone? What's going on with Sky? Like, I'm bored, honestly. Like, which is a shame because I was really interested in that storyline. But you don't have any meat as to why they are friends now. She literally sprayed blue mist in her face to stick up. I think she was sticking up for Willow, and now she's turned on them again, and we don't know why. So, and that was months ago, because then by the time it was World's End, this was December, and Julia had her match with Abaddon, Sky was in her corner, and we never knew why. Just don't get it.
it just there's a lot of things that they need to work on in terms of the women's division, but they sure are building up some big things for the men. So, you know, the coming months, we're going to be seeing Okada getting some big matches. You're going to see Swerve most likely winning the title at some point in the near future. So, there's some things to be excited about. And, you know, AEW's.
Sorry, I
But yeah, so those two big events happening on Dynamite this week, AEW trying to shine through here in the midst of WrestleMania season, and at least mention, we're not going to discuss it, but like the inevitable tag team match that everybody knew was going to happen is going to happen on night one of WrestleMania, and Cody finally got his receipt and slapped The Rock. So
yes.
that was definitely the biggest thing to happen in WWE this week, but Diana has one special shout out to do before we wrap up
Yeah.
here.
So Darby Allin is leaving to climb Mount Everest on March 27th. That's sad. Like, I know that by heart. He has one more match, obviously, Switchblade Jay White at Big Business, but I just want to wish him happy trails. Good on you, because the only Everest I conquered is in Disney World, and you are strapped in a roller coaster, and there's like a mechanical Yeti involved. So yeah, no, just be safe. Take your trip in good health, and we'll be waiting for you when you get back, buddy, because you will come back.
And especially Diana will be waiting for him. And specifically. And I'm afraid of heights, so no, I'm good.
He didn't even do the Disney Everest, you guys. Shane didn't even do it.
I don't do any rides. If that ride gets more than like 10 feet off the ground, I'm good. I
Leave him on
problem with
the
ladders.
teacups.
I love those teacups. You leave those teacups alone. I will spin them very fast. But as we're wrapping up here, special thanks to High Flyer Creative for making our awesome logo. If you need cool logos, you should check them out. And we're wrapping up here. And of course, we'll keep coming back each week with some more big news coming as we get closer and closer to WrestleMania. But from Diana and from Jane, thank you as always for tuning in and supporting the Ruthless Obsession podcast.
Oh, thank you.